Hey, what's up? This is your host, Pete McCarvin, and join me as we explore the great unknowns.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is your country cousin, Pete McCarvin, a.k.a. Peter Mac. Welcome back to the second edition of The Great Unknowns. I know we took a little while off, but this person I've got today, man, he's a busy guy. He on the East Coast. I'm out here on the West Coast. I'm a busy man myself, military, and getting on stages and just living life. So we apologize for the hiatus, but we back in full effect. You know how it is. Now, this guy I got on today, been doing comedy for like a decade and a half, transplant ATL-ian, also a good friend of mine. He hails from Cincinnati, Ohio. He's definitely going to let you know that. He's a chicken wing connoisseur, and he's a self-proclaimed trap nerd. We're going to get into all that once we further we go in the episode. This is my man, Steven Roberts, but BKA is the legendary Sonny G. Sonny, what's happening, big dog?
Man, what's good, Pete? Yo, don't be nice. Audience, it wasn't that I was busy. I was being an asshole. Petey kept trying to set this up, and I kept on fucking off. So I'm going to be honest. It wasn't a scheduling conflict. It was an asshole conflict. But I'm here now for the interview.
I was going to let you ease into that, let them find that out about you, bro, because I ain't want them to know straight off like that. I know you're an asshole. For those of y'all who don't know, a lot of y'all do, but those of y'all don't know, me and this man was like roommates for like my first year and some change in Atlanta. So I know I know the inner workings of his assholishness, if that's a word. But he's like, if any one of y'all ever see Annie, he's like Daddy Warbucks on Annie. He's an asshole outside, but the man got a heart of gold. He got to have a heart of gold because y'all, when I first moved, I ain't known this man for like 2 weeks. And next thing I know, I was like a tenant with him for over a year because he's glad to tell you I'm a tenant, not a roommate.
Well, I mean, you was paying rent, so
yeah,
you was paying rent to me that I was paying to the complex. So technically,
was it all the way to the complex? Because you know, come time we went without heat, fool. And it wasn't because we didn't have the funds. Because I know I gave you the money for that heat. You know, we didn't have no heat running through that, but I sure smelled some chronic and some granddaddy Kush and some perp going through there.
It's because, you know, I support black businesses. You know what I'm saying? As soon as I get, they be talking about how the black dollar don't circulate. I know my black dollar immediately goes to the weed man and my daughter's hairdresser. So that's two black businesses that I immediately support when I get paid. The heat company is not a black business. Therefore, they can wait.
Fool, a couple of times they went to some Arabs or some Mexicans. Don't lie.
Every now and again. You know, they got the liquor stores.
But no, man, what's been up with you, dog? I mean, like, other than the weekly calls we had, what's else been? Because, like, you running like a little ghetto camp honorana from Salute Your Shorts over there, ain't you? Right now?
Yo, I mean, a little bit. Right now, I'm working on getting my Trap Nerd brand out there. I'm opening some new rooms in Gwinnett, you know what I'm saying? So the people ain't always got to go, feel like they got to go all the way into the city to get their comedy fixed. I just put a new video on TikTok, a new Thought Boy Summer video on TikTok that is doing numbers that I didn't think it was going to do. Like, I'm already at 2,000 views and it's only been up for like 8 hours. That's the best video I've ever, or the most reaction I've ever got out of a video. And man, I'm just working. I'm working on me. I'm working on comedy. I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying, just come out of this when all is said and done about Sonny. I want motherfuckers to know that I respected this culture above everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm on my TI shit with the comedy. No matter what, you gonna respect this hustle. So all right.
Yeah. So how you go about, like, what was your beginnings when it came to like doing comedy? What made you like, I mean, give us who you are and where you're from, and I like what led you to know one day I could do comedy. Because I know you're here from Cincinnati. So what was it like growing up in Cincinnati? Specifically, tell us specifically where in Cincinnati you're from, because you know you scream that every day like EZ screen cop.
Madisonville, Cincinnati, the east side. So I've been an east side of my whole life. Shouts out to Decatur out here. I was the candy lady in the trap on the east side for a little bit here in Atlanta. But nah, growing up in Cincinnati, so the thing was, I've always admired comedy. Like, one of my earliest memories, you know, back in the day when folks used to call everybody to the house to watch movies and stuff, one of my earliest memories was the whole family gathered around my grandma's TV to watch Eddie Murphy Delirious or Raw, I can't remember. But one of the whichever was the later one, everybody was gathered around to watch it. And the you know, I got McDonald's, that joke always stuck out with me. So I always wanted to be funny as a kid. But the thing was, in the 90s, when you are a kid in the hood, in the ghetto, yeah, and you, you know, with me, I was never considered funny by my peers growing up.
Oh, yeah.
It was always, you know, I always got side looks, like, you know, so I didn't even think I had a career in comedy. I kind of like, matter of fact, the very first person I told I wanted to be a comedian was my dad. I was like 10 years old. And I told him, which it wasn't even a joke, it was just a premise. I was just talking about how my mom watched soap operas and how people on soap operas managed to like get married to their relatives by accident. I said something like, how you marry your cousin? And he just kind of looked at me like, all right, kid, don't give up your day job. So I didn't have any dreams or aspirations of growing up as a comedian, but I always loved comedy. You know what I'm saying? Martin, what was the one before Run Tell That? He's So Crazy, You So Crazy. Eddie Griffin's Voodoo Child. Like, I just always loved stand-up. So fast forward, like 70% of young Black males in the 90s, I was a rapper, a wannabe rapper. And when I got into the military, me and a group of friends got together and started a rap label, Black Union. And I was the manager. I was a rapper slash manager. And one day we got the opportunity to open up for Lloyd Banks in Okinawa, Japan. And so the guy who was supposed to originally host the event didn't show up. And Lloyd Banks people came backstage and they were like, hey, he ain't going on unless there's a host. Is there anybody here who can host? So I just knew I didn't have stage fright. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't expecting to go out there and tell no jokes. I just knew I didn't have stage fright. So I just, you know, volunteered to host. And I started, you know, just talking shit to the crowd and getting reactions. Folks was laughing. And you as a comedian know that laughter is like crack.
Oh, yeah.
That first hit. I was backstage. Like, once I introduced the acts and came backstage, I'm like, whoo, I can't wait to get some more of that. I can't wait to hit that again. So after that, I started calling myself a comedian and looking for showcases. And I was a pretty, you know, that's why I get my whole like a medium deal catchphrase, because I was kind of like a big deal on Okinawa at one point when it came to American comedy, because they didn't have a lot of American comedians in Japan.
Yeah.
And Japanese comedy is different. They do physical comedy. They do.
Yeah, I heard that.
I was on a showcase one time. The most popular act was a dude who had a bunch of blown up balloons taped on his body and had somebody throwing darts at him. That was the headliner of the showcase that I was at. And he, you know what I'm saying? So I'm telling jokes. And besides the language barrier, it's like, you know, are these even funny? Even if you understand English, is this funny? But that's how I got my start, just hitting comedy rooms, got back to the United States, got to Sumter, South Carolina. Shout out to Sumter. When I was there, that's where my daughter was born. And mm-hmm. when I was there, it was the murder capital of the United States, which don't make sense to me because it wasn't but like a population of 2,000 people.
It doesn't go by the population. It goes by how many murder per capita. So
I know. That's why I was like, bro, y'all ain't got but 2,000 people. What is you doing? Taking out 10 every weekend? Where is Big Mama? Why are y'all taking out Big Mama? Like, you know, I started out there in Columbia, South Carolina. Originally, I was hitting more poetry rooms. That's why I'm friends with a lot of poets. Shout out to Georgia Me. Shout out to Teresa the Songbird. Shout out to Abyss, my partners. They would let me up on stages to tell jokes. And the crazy thing about doing comedy at poetry rooms, and if you ever interview O.D. Odell, he'll be the one to tell you this. They always want to put the comic up after somebody does a rape or molestation poem.
Oh, yeah, I know. I got my like, not my start doing comedy. Like, matter of fact, one of the first shows I did, you mentioned OD, it was in Mobile with him, Ashima Franklin, and Vanessa Fraction. But my regular times of hitting mics was on the poetry scene. Shout out to a lady named Lady Test or Tesca Williams. She passed at Christmas of 2019. Man, that woman.
I love Tess. Tess was mine.
You know Tess?
Tess led a whole revival outside. Remember the hotel that used to be up the street from us? I think it was a Holiday Inn.
Yeah, I remember you talking about the right across, like you jump out the gate and it's right across the street right by the U-Haul over there by
Turner Field. That hotel is on the right before you get to the exit for the highway.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, there was this might have been right before I met you, but they, you know, every year there's a poetry event called Southern Fried. This mm-hmm. for Southern poets. And Lady Tess held a whole revival in the parking lot. It was one of the dopest things I've ever been a part of.
Oh, wow.
Because we was all just drinking, having a good time. And then the next thing you know, she bouncing up and down and she's like, yes, yeah. And everybody caught the Holy Ghost and we was all speaking in tongues, but it wasn't a religious thing. It was just we all are artists who are enjoying ourselves and having a good time. It was just so dope. I loved Lady Tess just as a person. I lusted her as a object. You know what I'm saying? She knew that in her life. So I'm not going, you know, I'm not going to be fake about it because she's passed. I told Lady Tess every time I seen her, I said, you give me an opportunity. I knocked the stuffing out that English muffin. You feel me?
Yeah, I did not know you. I did not know you knew. All the times we talking, as much we talk, I never knew y'all crossed paths. I swear to God, I didn't.
That's the artist community. There's so many people that it's like, you know him? Oh yeah, I know. That's like shout out. I can't remember the comedian's name that just Tyrell. He just passed. That was Sean P's cousin. But come to find out, he knew a young lady that I used to mess with in Okinawa. That was also her cousin. So she called me and she's like, yo, you remember I was telling you about my cousin Tyrell, who was a comedian? I was like, yeah, he just passed. Then she's like, I did not know y'all knew each other. I'm like, yeah, it's the world is a lot smaller than we think. You know what I'm saying? If we all just sit here and play 7 degrees with each other, we'll find out we've crossed paths with more people than we know.
That's true. And I know you had mentioned when you get that first laugh as a comedian ever on stage, it's like akin to like a crackhead getting their first hit. So we're going to talk about you being a child. Now, I know you talk about it a lot, so I don't think I'm treading on dangerous ground. So you, in fact, were raised by crack addicts, correct?
I tell folks, I grew up in a crack house. One of my jokes is I grew up in a crack house twice. Because the state came and took me away from my crackhead parents and put me in a whole new home with new crackheads. I was like, oh, this look familiar. I ain't got no TVs or food in this bitch. Okay, I know this program.
So you think that shaped your humor or like how you approach life or anything like that?
It did. It definitely had an effect where I think humor was my way of trying to escape or my way of trying to relate to something without, you know, because growing up in the 90s, being a little boy, you know, the walk it off culture, like men are allowed to be expressive with their emotions now. But, you know, as a little boy growing up in the 90s, it was just kind of like get over it, walk it off. OK, well, since I can't talk to you about this, let me tell you my humorous take on it, you know, type deal. But shout out to my parents because they have both been recovered for 10 plus years now. But just that environment, just growing up around, you know what I'm saying, drugs and stuff like that. That's why I call myself trap nerd. I grew up in the trap before trap was a thing. You know what I'm saying?
I call her Mama Gillespie because that woman one of my biggest fans. I remember when you threw that party for me going off the boot camp. I didn't know she was in town. She was like one of the main people there. Make sure, baby, you're going to be good. You need to eat up when you go to boot camp. You're going to be, I'm like, I'm going to be good. And every time I come home, or she see I'm in Atlanta on Facebook, you and Petey hooked up? Is Petey with you right there? I'm like, that's mom. Shout out to mom.
Yeah, mama love her some Petey. She asks me all the time whenever we talk, you talk to Petey? And then she always says, I know when we have our conversations, I'll be telling you, I'm like, yo, we be saying the same thing. But she, every time she asks about you, she go, you talk to Petey? And then after I say rather I did or didn't, she go, whew, I just love to hear him talk. I could listen to him talk all day.
Yes, some people love this country accent, some people don't, but before we get to trapping, I'm gonna say you keep mentioning Okinawa a lot. I know what you were doing over in Okinawa, but tell everybody else what led you to Okinawa, because I'm still, even when I mentioned you told me this, I'm like, nigga, for real?
I was in the Air Force, and that was where I got stationed. But as far as what I was doing, shit, fighting Marines every damn weekend. It was pretty much, it was the crunk era, and Marines don't like Air Force, you know what I'm saying? So when we all go to the clubs off base, and you know, you as a service member know this, you can look at people in their civvies and assume what branch they in. You know what I'm saying? Right. We can identify each other immediately, like, I think he Army. So going off base, going to clubs, Marines immediately, they recognize, oh, that's Air Force. So every weekend, it was just me fighting Marines and dancing the crunk. And it was a great ass time, but it was violent as shit. And the crazy part is, the Marines, first off, you know this, there's no such thing as fighting a Marine. No. It'll never happen. No. You will never fight a Marine in your life. These niggas is like the putties from Power Rangers. You swing on one, 11 more gonna pop up. Like, just like the damn putty. So that's what my weekends was fight. But these niggas beat my ass so bad one time that when I regained consciousness, I was in a bar with a drink in front of me. I said, huh? It's like, yeah, man, you took that ass whooping, bro. Here, drink this.
Hey, that's like, one thing about them. They gonna insult the hell out of you, beat the hell out of you, but they good people underneath. If that makes sense.
It do. I mean, it's you know, so now I fuck with Marine. Like, when I find out somebody is or was a Marine, I fuck with them. Like, you know what I'm saying? We still have that whole shit talking, you know, demeanor, but it's no real disrespect at the end of the day. I do respect, you know, people for who they are and shit like that. But nah, them damn Marines in Okinawa. So that's also where my comedy was getting jumped off, because after getting my ass whooped and hanging with me in a bar, it's like, oh shit, he funny. If I don't know he was funny, I wouldn't have beat his ass in the parking lot. But that was my time in Okinawa, was fighting Marines, going to work. I got married to my first love, and then we came back to the United States. So Okinawa was a whole job. By the way, real quick, for any of your viewers, if you ever go to Okinawa, there's this back alley called Ho Alley. Ho Alley is where prostitution is legal. But there's a specific room that's like a makeshift strip club. It's got what we call the Banana Lady. The Banana Lady's whole show, she like 70 years old.
Hold on. I already know where you're going with this. Because we call them ping pong shows. Like in Thailand, I went to Thailand ping pong show.
Yeah.
I already know. You said Banana Lady, I already know. Because let's just say, I'm not going to say how she did it. She projected out a banana out. And then it hit my leg. I had some khakis on. I'll never forget this. Hit my leg. And I had to walk out of there with like in my drawers in Thailand. I guess I've got a denim shirt on, walking out with some like Nike Dunks. This back before they was before they really got high price. As I'm walking out, that shirt, my boxers, and Nike Dunks on. So I'm walking and a couple of peers like, McCarvey, where you guys? I went to ping pong show, but not hit my, the banana hit my leg. They're like, okay, carry on. Then I went and got me some Bermuda shorts. I'm sitting there with Bermuda shorts, a denim shirt, and some Dunks on. And then it's like so funny because a couple of my superiors, they didn't run into it. They said, ping pong show. I'm like, ping pong show, banana. You know, just like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Donnie and Michelangelo, fight, kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to segue into that. Cause like that plays to your nerves. So trap nerd. So what made you want to go? Cause I know you're a nerd, but what made you want to say trap nerd exactly?
So the fact, you know, being in Atlanta, trap, before the word trap got oversaturated, I just was really trying to find a way to relate the fact that I grew up in, you know, a hood type environment. But people's misconception is if you grow up in the hood, you must be hood acting. Now, I realize, and there's a lot of us that was just, you know, where we live, but we were still very intelligent, very into comic books, Dungeons and Dragons, very into, you know, different things. So I decided to adopt Trap Nerd just to immediately get the point across. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is who I am. It's like, yeah, I know, you know, like I tell people, I'm glad my cousins wouldn't let me sell dope with them, because I'm not somebody who just follows instructions. I'm always trying to improve and shit like that. So I'd have been the only nigga on the block with chocolate crack and strawberry quick crack and peanut butter crack. Like, the police would have got me immediately. Like, where the fuck is y'all getting this Hershey's cocoa crack from? Oh, right down there. But that's me as a nerd. It's like, I can do all the hood shit, but I'm always going to put a little nerd spin on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas who sell weed now, they always making up names. It's the Runtz Pack. This, that. And my ass was, hey, bro, this that Spider-Man, bro. This shit had you climbing the walls. You know what I'm saying? This that Peter Parker right here. So that's, you know, Trap Nerd is just immediately, whatever image pops into your head of a Trap Nerd is what I'm trying to immediately get you to visualize that. You know what I'm saying? What does a nerdy ass nigga in the hood look like? He the nigga that's got the scale and the tubes and everything like that. But he also working on his master's degree. You know what I'm saying? Or shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Cause we definitely was in the trap. It's funny because I remember us definitely being in the trap watching Big Bang Theory and Jeopardy and getting it right. Cause I remember that one time when we standing over there by Turner Field and I brought a chick over there and just like, y'all watching Jeopardy, y'all hood niggas watching Jeopardy. And then we got like what, about 90% of them right? Me, you, and your brother Doug with them. And she was surprised, like, what? I'm like, yeah, we in the hood, but we ain't dumb. And she was like, just so surprised, because it was funny, cause you know. We ATLers at that point, it'd be like, when did Columbus sell those rooms? Man, that was goddamn 1492, man. It was Nina Pinta, Santa Maria, everybody know that. What is 1492? What is the Nina Pinta? And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, just because we in the trap don't mean we dumb.
That part. You know what I'm saying? Smart. And that then, part.
And what I was about to say. So, Trap Nerd, since your nerd go with comic books, and anybody who don't know you, anybody who knows about nerd know comic books. So the new Thor, have you seen it?
I have.
What's your thoughts on it?
It's a good standalone movie. Like, it's enjoyable, but I feel like because it came out after the last one, it was like, okay, I feel like it should have been a Disney Plus show rather than a movie, because I didn't feel no sense of danger. There was no real to me. Like, it was like, he's rescuing the kids, he's doing this, cool, but your biggest threat was the last movie. Your sister whooped your ass this last movie, and this dude keep getting his ass whooped and running off. So I enjoyed it, though. I'm not gonna say it was a bad movie, because you know me, I'll immediately go into, man, this shit. I don't have that about this story. I just feel like as a standalone movie, it's very enjoyable, but in the Thor saga, it's kind of weak.
I.e., you didn't want to pay all that money to go to the theater for it. That's what I got from what you just said.
Yeah, I kind of, like, yeah, this is the first Marvel movie that I just got, like, the credits came on, and I started walking, and everybody's looking at me like, nigga,
you didn't want to stay for the end scene? Everybody knows that? Wow.
I didn't. My dad called me and told me what the end scene was, and I was like, okay, and I was glad he told me, because I was like, if I'd have stuck around for that, I probably would have been mad, which, and not to spoil it, but the character they introduced is actually one of my favorite Marvel characters. I love the fact that they did the whole Greek versus Roman mythology thing. It was dope. But yeah, I was satisfied with what I watched in the movie. So I wasn't even, because Marvel's post-credit scenes lately aren't setting up like they used to. They used to set up where you was like, oh shit, now I got to see the next movie because they done introduced such and such. Now, you know, they're just doing stuff and it's like, oh, okay, well, I wonder where this is going to go.
All right, so I guess I'll wait for it to start streaming. Because, like, for those of y'all don't know, anytime when the MCU was first jumping off, if, like, especially after I joined the Navy and I went to San Diego, my friends would want to see it, because I already knew Sonny would already have seen it on the day of. So my friend, like, we need to go see him. I said, hold on, let me call back across to the East Coast right quick. And I get on the phone, Sonny, like, hey, yeah, nah. He'd be like, nah. I'm like, man, let me tell you this, woo-woo. I'm like, hey, man, I just got confirmation from one of the biggest comic book nerds. It's a go. Like, nah, y'all. Do we have to do the commitment? We got to be at the beach by 3, man. I don't want to be late for that, because you know them girls be sticklers. United Girls in California, you know, if you ain't there, they mind run away. And, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But now we're going to move on. So I'm going to ask this. When was the moment that you knew that you wanted to push forward with comedy? You knew comedy was something you want to pursue, not just mainly be on stage, but like writing, acting, podcasting, doing whatever. When did you know that this is it for me? This is the lane I want to go in.
I always actually, I figured, you know, my motto is comedy is my religion. It's not my profession. So yeah. I'm perfectly happy being an open micer for the rest of my life, because this is, so I knew when I was hitting stages that I could do the hitting stages part. You know what I'm saying? I never had like the ambitions to be like on Netflix or nothing like that. It was just always like, man, can I get the stage time? Because this is great. But the moment that I knew that I wanted to be a permanent fixture in my life was on my birthday at Make Me Laugh. And shout out to Make Me Laugh. We, Vanessa Fraction, DJ Black Boy, Rod Rose,
Tyler D.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Make Me Laugh Monday was the premier Monday room for Black comedy in Atlanta. And they let me up last on my birthday, I want to say 2012 or 13. And Darius McCrary was from Family Matters was in attendance.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm telling these jokes or whatever. I had it's when I first premiered my Master P joke, the whole goes with everything.
Yeah.
And I told that joke and Darius and his girlfriend laughed. And afterwards, Rodney Perry bought me a drink. He said, boy, you are fearless. And I like that. And he bought me a drink. And that was the biggest, that was the biggest thing that had happened in my comedy. I said, I made somebody who's been on TV laugh. And then I made, and somebody else who I've already respected and admired, you know, told me I'm fearless and bought me a drink. You can't tell me shit. You know what I'm saying? Cause you were around the whole Sonny Ain't Shit thing. Like people wasn't even giving me a chance. You know what I'm saying? Folks wasn't giving me a chance. They would just hear one thing that maybe they didn't think was funny and just wrote me off like, oh, well, Sonny ain't funny. But for Rodney Perry to have enjoyed my set and call me fearless, I was like, man, yo, this is great. So that's when I knew that no matter what, this comedy shit's in me. You know what I'm saying? I don't care how I got to do it. I don't care if I got to do a Michael Collier and just post up on the Riverwalk somewhere and tell these jokes. Y'all gonna get these jokes because Rodney Perry told me I'm fearless. You know, that's where me and DeRulio was just talking the other day. That's where the last train comedy show on Martyr that we used to throw came from. It was like, well, shit, we didn't just get a speaker and go on Martyr, go on the train and do comedy on the train while folks is going home. Yeah. So that Rodney Perry and Darius McCrary are a big factor in the fact that I'm kind of like a medium deal today.
Yeah. Oh, well, we know you're fearless because that time we snuck into that whole season, like y'all, me and this man here literally snuck into a whole season of a Bounce TV stand-up comedy series. And I'm sitting there with him like, bro, I don't know. He said, man, just walk up. So we walked up, we kicked it with the security guard, and he let us in. Second day, we just talked to him, then we walked past. Third day, he's like, man, y'all niggas running late. Come on. I'm like, all right.
He's like, man, the show that already started, we got two seats up front for you. Like, because the one thing I did, the one thing I learned about Atlanta that I love the culture, I mean, but you can, if you had that confidence on you, you can go in anywhere. If you just act like you belong someplace, you can get in anywhere in Atlanta. Like, no badge, no credentials, no nothing. I done snuck into so much shit and had a great time that I done come back to the organizers and been like, hey, I snuck into this bitch, but next year I'm gonna buy a ticket and not even show up to make up for the fact that I enjoyed myself so much for free this time.
That's why I hate when people say that about Atlanta. You can't go there if you don't have no money. I said, what you talking about? I was working part-time at Walgreens. And my roommate, he was in limbo between jobs, going off his disability from military. We party like rock stars. So,
I tell people my very first trip to Atlanta before I even started living here was to go to the A3C Music Festival to see my favorite.
I'm surprised you ain't like hosting or one of the organizers of they damn spokesperson for that. You got so much stuff and been to so many events for them.
I tried. The thing about me that I realized about myself is that there are rules to everything and there's a way to approach everything. And if I approach it my way and it don't work, I just give it up. But there are different ways I could have gone about it to get hosting gigs and stuff. I just didn't do that, you know, so it's my fault. But yeah, you're right. Like, I still know the organizers. I still know, you know, a lot of the people and everything like that. They haven't actually done it in the last 2 or 3 years, like the year before the pandemic. They didn't have one. But no, when I first came to Atlanta just to go to the A3C Festival, I bought my ticket to the festival, didn't buy a damn hotel room or nothing. So I slept behind a murder Kroger.
Oh, wow. Ooh, boy, you crazy as hell. You dedicated, but you crazy as hell. But yeah,
I mean, that's all it was. It was like, yo, there's a chair. I'm tired. I'm asleep. And then tomorrow, the first event starts at 1. So I'm going to make sure I'm at that. But
All right. So we got two last things. I'm going to hit right quick. First thing before I move on, I'm going to ask you this. Then the last thing is going to be this or that. There's three things. I'm going to ask you this or that, but it's tailored to you. So the first thing I want to know is, like, this so-called great unknowns. What is an unknown about you, Sonny G, that a lot of people don't know?
A lot of people don't know that I've been doing this for 15 years. I'm not a rookie. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know me. Again, that's where my whole, I'm kind of like a medium deal thing is, because motherfuckers would be like, I ain't never seen you on TV. Who are you? Da, 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 da. And then such and such who they have seen on TV will walk up. Oh, hey, Sonny, what's up? I see you in there. And now everybody's like, hold up. Who the fuck is he?
Yeah.
Who is he that Carlos Miller and DC Fly and Chico Bean, you know what I'm saying, walked up to him and shook his hand before they started the 85 South show. So I've been, you know, I'm kind of like a medium deal. All the famous comedians that people know, or you know how black people are. We ain't seen you on TV or you know what I'm saying, on TikTok. We don't recognize you and shit like that. But everybody you do recognize knows me. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I have run into pretty much 90% of my heroes in this comedy game.
Yeah. Okay. So now the last thing I'm going to do this or that. So this is going to be Taylor, you. It's going to be a lot of sense in that. It's going to be I'm going to do four. One for your trap nerd self. Two, I'm going to be Cincinnati. And one is going to be kind of Cincinnati, but not. You're going to stay on set. Okay. So I pretty much already know this first one. MCU or DCU?
MCU, all day.
Yeah, I already kind of knew that one. All right, the second one. Cincinnati Bengals or Cincinnati Reds?
Bengals all day. Okay. Don't get me wrong. I love my Reds, but the Bengals just went to the Super Bowl. Ain't no way I can pick the Reds over them.
I feel. Third one, University of Cincinnati or Xavier University?
So here's the conflicting part. So my mom went to Xavier. She actually got pregnant with me while she was going to Xavier University. So that was when I was a kid getting complimented on being, you know, oh my God, he speaks so well. Oh my God. She'd be like, yeah, he used to go to college with me. So, you know, okay, he used to go to class with me. So I have a deep, deep love for Xavier, but I've always been a Bearcat, a UC Bearcat at heart. Like, they every year they have what's called the Crosstown Showdown between the two basketball teams. I'm always Team UC. So I call my mom. I'll be like, you know, the Crosstown Showdown is today. She's like, oh, yeah, you know, Xavier all day. Maybe my alma mater. I'm like, yeah, but because I went to high school right across the street from the University of Cincinnati, a college prep high school. Yeah. And so some of our classes was actually on UC, but I've just always been a Bearcat at heart. But shouts out to the Musketeers. I don't give a fuck. Cincinnati, I don't give a damn rather I'm on your team or not. If you Cincinnati, I'm going to cheer for you.
All right. And this last one, spaghetti made with skyline chili or chicken wings?
Oh, you want to do that?
Yeah, we ain't got that much time, bro. So you got to hit it. You got to hit it hard.
God dang it.
You gotta hit this hole.
I gotta go with the wings. I gotta go with the wings, bro. Because you was in the lab with me. You know how I do with wings.
Hey, the wings on Sunday. Hey, that was a thing, man. I knew that was gonna be a tough one. That's why I said I'm gonna say it for last. All right, but we gotta get up out of here, man. We out of time. Anything in the works that you got going on? Tell them real quick. Tell them your handles, and we gotta get up out of here, man.
I'm Trap Nerd Sonny on pretty much all social media platforms.